This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Tonight on Whiskey Business, a return guest, the man that should have been the mayor of Bexley, could have been the governor of Ohio, not really. Travis Irvine is back on Whiskey Business. Hey everybody, I'm Dino Tripodis and welcome to Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. And this marks our first official, since the announcement was made, our first official podcast with the Evergreen Podcast family.
Thanks to Evergreen.
Yay, Evergreen.
Cheers.
Yeah, the announcement was made Friday or so ago. Cheers, cheers, cheers.
Dino's getting his juice here.
Evergreen, that's good. Evergreen Podcast Network. Whoa, look at that. Sticking to my coaster. Evergreen Podcast has a ton of amazing. Whatever your interest might be, they've got something for you, including ours, Whiskey Business. So check them out at evergreenpodcast.com.
We're in the new and trending section, and also the fun and nostalgic category. Fun and nostalgic.
Well, we get fun and nostalgic.
Yeah, we do.
From time to time. In fact, tonight's episode is a tad bit nostalgic, if you consider the fact that your guest is a repeat guest, the second time we've had Travis Irvine on the show. The last time you were on was sensational and great, and just by happenstance,
yes,
by what I thought was a are you sure you're texting me, dude?
Because I text you at 2 or 3 a.m. and be like, yo, you up?
Yeah, and it had a very personal feel to it, like, I don't think this, because you and I don't text on a regular basis, and it was like all of a sudden, like, hey man, I'm gonna be in town and let's hang and so forth, like, you talking to me?
Yeah,
he's talking to me.
I want to hang with Dino. I got three weeks in Columbus.
I said, I don't think this is for me, but if you're going to be in town, why don't you be a guest on the podcast?
And that's perfect. That's actually all I really wanted.
Because you're one of those
fishing.
Yeah. That's why I send all those you up at 2 a.m. texts.
No, trust me, I get those from my friends. Yeah, I get them from Hansberry.
Yeah,
Hansberry texted me on his vacation in Chicago.
Right.
At 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, what was that all about? The wife was already asleep, and I was awake up alone at the hotel bar and just hanging out.
Hey, you guys up?
So I thought I'd text my dudes who normally.
In your defense, it was only 12:30.
Yeah,
in Chicago.
See, it was central time.
Time difference.
Yeah, yeah.
When I text you back, what are you doing, you hooligan? I
said, yeah, then at like 6 in the morning, I got a text from Dino. What?
I go, mother and I went to bed promptly at 10 p.m. after a very disturbing episode of The Deadliest Catch. That's what I texted back to him.
That's very it's accurate. That's an accurate text. It's
pretty accurate. Get to the business.
Thanks for subscribing to Whiskey Business on your favorite podcasting app, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud. Stitcher, Megaphone is a new one. iHeart, they're all of them. All of your favorite podcasts. We've run all of them.
We do, because now that we're with Evergreen Podcast, they put them out everywhere.
Right. Yep. Wow. Tubi. We're on Tubi.
We're on Tubi TV.
Yeah. Tubi TV.
I love Tubi TV.
We're not on Tubi TV.
Are you not on Tubi TV?
You always mix one up.
But you can find us on YouTube, Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Smash that subscribe button right down there.
Yeah.
And click the little bell button, and you'll get notifications every time Johnny posted an episode up.
I'm doing that? I'm still doing that stuff?
I think so.
Okay.
We told Evergreen that we were.
Yeah.
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. WhiskeyBusinessPod.com is where you can find archives and some videos and writings and stuff.
I needed to write.
We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player at .fm, Amazon Music, Spotify, RSS feed, which is weird. Pocket Cast, Breaker, Castbox, and of course YouTube.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
All right there you go.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's so much.
That's a lot. That's a lot. The point is if you're not subscribed to us somewhere, get with the program.
Get with the program.
You got a million opportunities, damn it. Yep.
But thank you again to Evergreen Podcast for having us join your family. And thank you, Travis Irvine, for being back. Woo-hoo! I have so much to catch up on with you. I mean, last time you were on, we talked about so many things. And we'll probably talk about some of those same things, but different, only from an updated standpoint.
Yeah, post-pandemic standpoint.
Post-pandemic, that's my first question out of the gate.
Yeah.
You're here, you're alive, you're healthy. Did you go through any experiences with COVID? Did you have it? Did you not have it? Did you stay in a bubble? Were you a mask wearer, not a mask wearer? Whoa. Are you vaccinated?
I'm double vaxxed. I took all the vaxes. I was in LA snorting vaxes everywhere at the party. And they're like, stop snorting all the vax. And I was like, you got it. But I'm very, very vaxxed right now. And look, it messed with everyone. Here's the thing, Dino. When this all kicked off, March 2020, I was literally for the first time in my life touring comedy clubs around the country, actually making comedy club money with my good friend and my now co-host of a podcast called Abe Lincoln's Top Hat on Spotify. It's a political podcast. And my co-host, Ben Kissel, who used to be my roommate in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very tight. And I ran his campaign for Brooklyn Borough President. We made a documentary that I also made called Hail Yourself America. I think that we released that post our last interview in 2019. And Ben and I were on the road showing our documentary at comedy clubs. Crowds of 200 people. I'm over there. We're splitting the door 50-50. You know what comedy club money is like, right?
I vaguely remember what comedy club thank you, was right? like.
It's, yes.
I've been on a comedy club stage since March.
Over a year, yeah. And that's the crazy thing is like there I was doing shows, making like $3,000 in three nights. And I'm this is it.
That's nice.
Ben's
that's
got a follow. Right there, yeah. It was very generous. And, you know, we
three
had
$3,000 in three nights.
We had a show at Funny Bone Columbus, March 22nd. And I flew here after our Orlando show. March 16th, and then the world shut down, and that was the end of the dream. It was just like, and I know so many people, comedians especially, are like, they're about to do an album. They're about to hit the road.
They're about to pay the rent.
Pay the rent.
Pay the rent. But they're about to put food on the table.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the bar is pretty low.
Diapers for their children. I mean, everybody.
Yeah, diapers for themselves. Yeah, diapers, I mean, everything.
The older ones.
Some of them have problems.
Dino knows a little bit about that.
There you go.
No, I don't. Not yet.
Why were you up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday? Exactly. You're going pee.
Wait a minute. Hey, the fact that I can still get up and go pee is good. It's when I say, I got to pee. I just stay right here.
Right.
Okay, I'm done.
Right.
that's when you need to get concerned.
Honey.
Worried.
Changing. Like
the Steve Martin bit from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yeah, like, right.
Can I use the bathroom?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Either way, that was it. But that's what's interesting. It brought me back to Columbus right in March 2020 at the height of everything. And this is where I stayed in Clintonville. Actually, I was over Clinton Heights Avenue. I didn't realize I was so close to you. I would have come over
you.
Way more.
Shame
like
on
three
you.
Blocks away.
Instead, shame
on
instead
you.
I hunkered.
You could have been part of the very exclusive pandemic bubble that was this house.
Oh, that would have been fun.
That's what I was terrified about. I was like, if I go over there, I'm either going to get COVID or I'm going to give Dino COVID.
Yeah.
No, you know, you wouldn't get COVID here.
Yeah.
No. There was very exclusive bubble. I mean, I was really strict about who came over.
That's
good. And what we did, and you know, there were no more poker games. Everything stopped.
Can't touch the cards.
Can't
touch
the cards, the chips, whatever. I mean, even tonight before you came over here, before these guys came over here, I wiped down everything again, and I Lysoled the joint. You know,
there's some things that I think should stick around.
Yeah,
hand
sure.
sanitizer being available, I think, is good.
Got some hands warmed up. It's over there.
Yeah.
Goddamn Delta variant.
Yeah, got the Delta variant.
Oh, no, we got the Delta variant.
There's always going to be a variant. There's always going to be. I mean, I think much like a lot of things that happen historically speaking in our world and in our country, I think this is going to be just part of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, moving forward.
Yes.
And it'll become less and less of an issue. It will become what, you know, some people decide to get a flu shot every year. Some people decide not to get a flu shot every year.
Yes.
You know? You know, supposed to get a single shot when you turn 60. Well, now they didn't change it to 50. And, you know, it's going to be whatever people want to do. But it is going to be part of the routine moving forward. You know, yes. What are we going to do after 9/11? Everybody said the world changed after 9/11, but we adapted. You know, I got to do what at the airport? Right. And all of a sudden, now you don't think twice about it at the
right,
airport.
Right. I got who watching my emails right now?
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, everybody just kind of gets conditioned. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, depending on, I guess, on what it is.
Well, yeah, I'd say the sad reality is that everything did get so politicized, right, on the issues of, again, you're talking masks, you're talking right. vaccinations.
Yep, yep, yep.
You know, I'm a pretty science savvy guy. I always got A's in the old biology classes and everything.
Oh, lucky
over
you.
There at Bexley wow. High School. They know lucky how to teach you. Them. And speaking of which, Amy Acton, Dr. Amy Acton, only lives two blocks away from my parents. So, you know, at the height of this stuff, you got people coming out who, let's face it, they probably voted for me for governor.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. And they were very angry about the shutdowns and the mask mandates and all of it. And sure enough, they show up in Bexley to start protesting dear Dr. Amy Acton's house. And I was very conflicted not politically, but just, you know, I understand their sentiment. But, you know, this is a very unprecedented once in 100 sure. year situation.
Yeah,
also, Dr. Amy Acton's married to my old cross country coach, you know, the good coach, Coach A, Eric
coach
Acton.
A, yeah.
And, you know, I grew up with Acton's kids and. So to see those worlds kind of collide two blocks away from
right.
where my parents were. And, you know, again, I had flown in for a show. Next thing you know, I'm hunkering down with my parents to make sure they're safe. And then next thing you know, I'm getting a spot here in Clintonville because I couldn't stand my parents anymore. and so, yeah, I was here till July and I just hunkered down and I was editing this documentary that right. we finished.
At least you had something to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the Lord knows plenty of people didn't. Have,
yeah. yeah. Let me ask you, you know, because... for those of you who are seeing Travis for the first time, when we had him on last time, we talked about a lot of things. He's always been politically active. Were you surprised at how politically divisive the pandemic was?
Yeah, I was. Because it seemed like, again, it seemed like straightforward science.
And, right.
You know, even with yeah. the first Trump press conferences and the first Mike DeWine conferences, whatever mm-hmm. you think about those men, whatever. They were coming out and saying, these are our solutions. This is what we're going to try to do. And then, like, you know, that was March. And then already by April, everyone's getting sick
oh,
of it.
Oh, fuck
and
that.
Yeah.
yeah
and,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
immediately
yeah, yeah.
it started to turn into, you know, well, what's true and what's not. And then now that's what we have.
And don't tell me what to do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. I want my right to spit on my friends. How dare you get over here, Jerry? I'm going to spit on you right now. And it's just like, well, hold on.
Slick
you know,
spit.
Yeah, it's just oh, like, yeah. you know, I wore the mask because what I understood was that my spittle and other people's spittle is what was spreading the disease.
Yeah.
And
could.
So
it could. Yes.
And I washed my hands
washed,
and I just
yeah.
made sure I didn't give anything to my parents.
Yeah.
And that lasted again all through Ohio. I think I was good. And then I went and took a campaign job in Wyoming from August, September, October through Election Day. And that is when I got COVID.
Oh, you actually got COVID.
I actually tested positive for COVID because in Wyoming, when you show up to someone's door wearing a mask, they call you a pussy and they make you take it off if you want to earn their vote for your candidate. So
wow.
Wyoming was like living in Trump country.
Yeah.
And
it's a wild west out there, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, they always go 60-70% for Republicans.
Only person that wears a mask in Wyoming is a bank robber.
Exactly. They understand it's the wild
He's
west.
Trying to rob
you robbing me? Whoa, the train robbers are here, buddy. This ain't a train. This is a house. And I'm like, I know. I'm just here to give you a flyer. I'll just leave it on the door. Yeah,
you're not going below.
Yeah,
mask and a black hat, so I know who's the good guy and who's the bad guy.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but Wyoming, you know, that's something that I don't know anyone else who did that.
No, did you get super sick or just you just tested positive and it was just like you had a bad flu? Because some people there were some mild cases, some severe cases. Obviously, we've lost 600,000 plus lives
right.
over the course of the pandemic. Where were you in that mix?
Well, the problem is that I don't know. Because it is such a weird disease. And we were doing the campaign gig in Colorado for a weekend at 10,000 feet altitude. And by Sunday, after 2 days of, you know, again, it's canvassing, it's campaign work for the libertarians, of course. So, mm-hmm. you know, the bar is very low. But we were giving it our best try. And 10,000 feet, I thought I had altitude sickness because mm-hmm. I just started to crash the Sunday after we were in Colorado. And, It was just very tired and just trying to watch the Browns game and then going back to my bed and then coming back to the Browns game and then telling my coworkers, it's like, I really don't feel very good.
I don't feel very well.
And then the tiredness, and it was just coughing up a lot of phlegm, which is apparently not a COVID symptom. That's what it's an altitude sickness symptom.
It gets confusing.
So again, so I'm trying to just do my diligence.
Sure.
But for two more days, I was laid out. And then about a few weeks later, before I left the job, it was the day after Election Day. We didn't know who had won the presidency. We did win one state house campaign in Wyoming for a Libertarian. Right. We were running Libertarians against Republicans, and we won one, and we lost three. And
that's right.
Yeah, well, hey, it was the only thing that went right for the Libertarians, as far as I'm concerned, in 2020.
I haven't mentioned our guest bottle tonight. The this is the George Dickel Barrel Select whiskey. I subscribe to a lot of French medical journals, and you know me when I found
Dr. Dickel
when I found the article that said that Dickel whiskey drinkers are less likely to contract COVID.
Yes,
whiskey drinkers and cigarette smokers. Of course, in France, you say that cigarette smoking is fine.
Yeah. It is good for you. Why you not try it? Why you are 8 years old? Try a cigarette.
The nicotine and the smoke keeps the lungs protected from the COVID from coming inside.
It hardens the shell.
Yes, it does. Yeah. But this is our guest bottle tonight. I think it's bottle 166 or 167.
Yeah.
This is the George. Depending on who you talk to, this is aged somewhere between 9, some people will say 10, 12, or 15 years.
It's like a rescue dog. You just never know how old it actually is. Yeah.
And
well, between 7 and 9.
When he got pretty good. Our buddy Rick Gethin from
changed his name to
from Cat Club Podcast, who was on recently, brought this as a gift. So thank you, Rick. We are honoring your gift here. And this is a nice little blend. A lot of corn in there. About 8% rye, mostly 80-some% corn, 8% rye, 8% malted barley. So when you taste it, you'll probably get some sweetness into it right out of the gate. A lot of corn for sure. And then afterwards. A little caramely.
Yeah.
A little caramely.
It's definitely sweet.
It's definitely sweet. That's good. A lot of corn.
It's real good.
Yeah.
That's drinkable.
Are you sure?
It's drinkable.
You look so tired.
Yeah.
His man's been in.
I'm wiped out.
The man.
It's a Chicago trip.
Yeah.
The wife
and
I.
How old are you?
I know. I feel like I'm 80. the wife and I took a lovely trip to Chicago without the kids, and we went. We were going from like Thursday morning till Sunday night.
Oh man!
And today is what? And Wednesday,
wasn't even
Tuesday,
your anniversary
Wednesday.
Or birthday.
No. And by going, I mean none of that.
Yeah. This is how you know nature is healing.
It's like how old are you now? You had a birthday?
No, 37.
37.
Oh, welcome to my world, buddy.
You know what I want to do?
You want to do the Vegas IV thing?
Yeah, they got a spot over here in Grandview now. I want to try it.
You want to try that?
Hey,
have you ever had the IV to recharge it?
Not for that purpose.
I'm telling you what, you'll think you're Superman.
Is it like vitamins? What is it?
It's it's saline, basically.
Yeah.
It's saline. It's saline and some other good mojo stuff to kind of vitamins. I'm sure.
Vitamin B.
I have a buddy. He's an Italian club dude. He's works at the fire department, and he back in the day he says he's above board now. But when they first started, they would just use those saline packets and. You know, if they're a little sluggish, you know, before shift,
sure.
They hit it up and boom.
What is saline?
Just like water and
exactly. With a little salt. Right. And what is the leading contributor to being fatigued?
It's dehydration.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I agree. I want to do it.
Drink water.
Drink water.
All right. Yeah, Travis is drinking water. Drinks a lot of water.
Yep. Let's do a show. Let's just have a bender. And then do a show from the
isn't
from
this
the,
whole
from the
podcast
place.
Been a bender for the last 5 years?
I thought that was the point.
Oh man! So let's wrap up that segment.
Sure,
you're healthy.
I'm healthy. I survived, and I had antibodies for 6 months after you have it. Mm-hmm. Right. So I just kept going in and getting tested, making sure I was good, and then finally I got tested for the antibodies, and they're like. Yeah, you're good for 6 months. And I was like, all right, well, thank you to all the terrible people of Wyoming who didn't care enough about anyone else's health. It was just, it was a wild time.
They flunked biology in high school.
No, yeah, right. And then Biden won the presidency, and it felt like we were at least moving forward. Yeah. So here we are.
We did seem to make a lot of quick progress after that.
Yeah, it's almost like he knows what he's doing. Yeah.
I mean, you're very passionate about your politics. When you were home, you texted me and asked me if I would put up some signs for the HB6 repeal.
Right, repeal, right? HB6. Yes.
HB6, and tell people what that is.
Oh, Lord. Well,
in a nutshell.
Yeah, if anyone was living under a rock during the pandemic, which was all of us, let's face it. Mm-hmm. HB6 broke last July 2020, and it is what the FBI has called the biggest pay-to-play bribery scandal in Ohio political history, and it involved the Speaker of the House, now former Speaker of the House.
Oh, really?
And finally also
former, he's been removed.
And yeah, he's been fully expelled.
Didn't his son want the gig now?
Yeah, no, he didn't get it. Okay, they gave it to a state trooper. They're right. Just like, we should just pick someone in law enforcement.
Let's get somebody without the same last name.
Yeah, that was the other thing. The man's name was Householder. What else is he supposed to do?
That's it.
So that all broke, and it, you know, it's not just the former Speaker of the House. It was well-connected lobbyists.
Oh, yeah. That's a big paper trail.
The former Ohio Republican Party chairman named Matt Borges, who lives in my hometown of Bexley. And, you know, these are political bullies, guys who have been at it for 10, 20 plus years, and they've always gotten away with it. And that's who the FBI busted, was basically these guys coordinating money that came from First Energy. Mm-hmm. It was up to the tune of $60 million.
Yep.
And they gave it to an organization called Generation Now that was literally Larry Householder and his associates using the money to pass HB6, which was a nuclear bailout bill that benefited First Energy. And after they got that passed, very controversially in the State House, then they had to fight all the attempts to repeal it at the ballot or repeal it in mm-hmm. session. So, you know, they're taking money from this company and putting it into campaigns and rigging primaries and paying off petitioners to not collect petitions.
Oh, wow.
It got crazy. Bad news all around.
And you notice that sign's not in my yard.
I imagine Larry Householder stole it, just like he stole our energy future.
At the same time, they they stole my Biden-Harris sign. They
see, that's where you live in Clintonville.
I know, but you know what?
I just don't know.
Sometimes let's go like, to Clintonville, steal some signs.
Yeah, maybe yeah. Larry Household was driving by. I was like, no, not Dino.
I'll be perfectly honest with you. You gave me two signs. I only put up one.
That's fine. That's okay.
I only put up one.
I saw one in Cleveland this weekend when I was up in Cleveland doing comedy. Again, for the first time.
So I might still have another one in the garage now that I think about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you need one, then I'll steal this one from Cleveland and then bring it down to you.
Good idea. So what? With so much corruption and politics being the ever constant riddle wrapped in an enigma, why do you continue to have those political pursuits? Do you really think you can make a difference if you got someplace? Do you really think you could make a difference if you got into a position of political power?
Well,
or would you cave like so many?
Right. No, that's a very good question. If I had been a candidate last year, certainly a very good question.
You've been a candidate.
I've been a candidate, and I did have an influence, at least on the elections. And, you know, like we talked about back in 2019 when I ran for mayor of Bexley, I did end up saving my block, my neighbor's homes.
Right.
The city council learned what we were dealing with on the zoning issue. You can learn about that in American Mayor, available at AmericanMayorTheMovie.com. That is still a movie. It's just an old movie. So I'm not promoting
it. Mention the old ones. We'll mention the new ones here in a little bit. Don't worry about it.
We've only made five
movies. That's five more than a lot of people.
Right, thank you.
All right, two of them are zombie raccoons. Right.
Back to my original question.
I've made a difference because here's what we've done. Here's what we did in the last year. Okay, I knocked on thousands of doors for that state house campaign that we won in Wyoming. Okay. So I got Marshall Burt, Libertarian, elected to the Wyoming State House, first Libertarian elected to a state house in 30 years, first third party candidate elected to the Wyoming State House in 100 years. That was me and four other people.
Right. You were instrumental in getting him elected.
Yes.
I'm asking if you got elected to office.
Right.
Would you still be able to be the Travis Irvine that sits across from me right now without, you know, dealing with the scorn and the criticism and all the political pressures that that are involved in an office once you get there? Let's not quibble. You know you're going to get it.
I will not quibble. I will stand up to corruption, no matter who it is, Republican or Democrat.
I've heard that before.
I know, but listen to this. All right, the HB6 signs made a difference. They made a difference because they pressured, you know, we had celebrities, we had influencers, we had political people putting these signs out. And what it did was build momentum for people to understand that, yes, no one likes this law. And then I went a step further. The other month, back in May, I read Larry Householder's personal cell phone number on my new podcast, Abraham Lincoln's Top Hat, available on Spotify. And Larry Householder, when he was testifying before they expelled him, about 9 minutes into his testimony, he started complaining about receiving texts from all over the country telling him to resign and repeal HB6. And I went back and listened to the podcast, and that's exactly what I told people to text him. And that's the thing.
Okay,
so these are little things. I understand that.
They all come into play.
Yes.
So you, behind the scenes, are very effective.
Can make a difference.
Make a difference and make some changes.
Yes, and if I were elected, I 100% believe that I would do the same thing, because...
Would you still take the opportunity to be elected to a public office if you decided so? Because you're very personable.
Yes.
You're very charming.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, and hold on.
This is the political segment.
Yeah.
For anyone listening, I just put on my American flag sunglasses. For anyone watching, that's on brand.
I think I had this exact same picture last time. Oh,
that's the same picture.
Over the course of my long life, have been.
And may I say, talk about nostalgia. I've listened to Dino since I was a kid.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that's a long life, and we're glad to hear.
87 years old. I'm 87 years old.
Yeah, it's.
But over the course of my much longer lives than anybody seated here, I was approached and asked, "Would you ever consider?" Running for...
Was that me who asked you that?
No. Well, you may have asked me that.
I may have was like, come on.
You've asked me that before in the past, but other people prior to you have asked me that.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? In my heart, that'd be awesome, I think, because I feel the same way. But then the reality steps in, and I'm like, man.
Right.
Do I want to be part of that machinery? And how long would I last?
Right. That's a very good. Yeah. No, that's something, a question every American has to ask themselves, is because, you know, I do think the majority of Americans are good. I think, you know, I agree with you that power seems to corrupt people. Mm-hmm. And you saw that with Larry Householder. He was just a farm boy from Perry County. And when he got.
That's my line.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not a farm boy from Perry County. If you're running for office and you're not pure, as people think pure is as a person, you have no fucking chance.
Yeah.
I kind of beg to differ.
The primaries.
No, I'm just saying.
Given the previous presidential election.
Well, and even, you know what I mean. And even in the state house, you know, let's look. Larry Householder got expelled 75-21. So that's 20 Republicans backed him. And one Democrat was like, "Yeah, whatever." but that's huge. That's 3/4 were just like, "We're done with you.
Yeah,
get out." And there was no ceremony. There was no clapping once they delivered the vote. And the new House Speaker Bob Cupp voted to expel Larry Householder as well. I think that does speak volumes. And it's like, maybe there are good people out there
who are good people,
even if you don't agree with them on everything, at least they did something here.
No, I don't agree with anybody on everything.
How could you?
If you are agreeing with everything from everybody, then you have no opinion. You have no, you know, you're just a lackey.
Yeah.
You just go along with things.
Well, and government is hard. You know, I remember my first meeting with the Bexley mayor, David Madison, who was mayor for 30 years before, you know, when he retired. That's why I ran and seven other people ran, because it was wide open. But he had a sign hanging up in his office. It was like, you can't make everyone happy all the time. And it's just it's a good reminder, if you're a politician or an elected official or even just a bureaucrat doing your job, everything's so hard. And I think we saw that the past year, certainly, because it was hard to get 100% of anything right the last year.
You strike me as such a positive person all the time, but in the last year, what has disappointed you and discouraged you since the last time we spoke?
Well, there's a place called Wyoming.
Aside from Wyoming, if you mentioned Wyoming,
all the shitty people to Wyoming.
I'm talking about personally.
Tell me about what is Wyoming.
I'm not saying that you're on right now for the podcast. This is you. This is who you are.
Sure.
This is how you've always been with your stand-up and your filmmaking and your politics. But what happened since the last time we met that might have discouraged or disappointed Travis Irvine, where you said, like, you just said, fuck it, I'm done. Or I'm thinking about being done. I've had it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this anymore.
Boy, every day about 6 p.m. in Wyoming.
Wyoming really,
it really bummed me out. It really left
a mark.
It really bummed me out. It scarred me literally with the COVID in the lungs, probably, and then also mentally forever. It's just like Wyoming is a beautiful place full of terrible people. Just the worst, the dregs of white Trump.
But isn't the country beautiful? Isn't it beautiful scenery?
No, I mean, you're talking about having a moment. You're talking about having a moment. And I had one. We would kind of bounce to these other libertarian campaigns on some weekends. And I was in South Dakota, just miles away from Mount Rushmore, which is the American, you know, it's so iconic. And I just had it with everyone. I'm watching the families eat pizza. I'm like, they're all racist. They're all fat white racist. Who they can't empathize with anyone else, you know. And I only know that because I've been knocking on their doors and just trying to talk.
See it firsthand.
Yeah, and now it's changed things. It's now I come back. Thank you. Thank you.
Before you knock it over.
Well, I'm getting very passionate over here. We talk about politics and what I hate. And then I come back to Ohio. It's like Trump won here by 8 points. You know, right. Teaching filmmaking in Delaware at Ohio Wesleyan has like a camp for kids. With the junior league, and I'm just teaching the basics of filmmaking. Now when I drive into Delaware and I see the Trump flags, I'm just like, man, the nostalgia. We're talking nostalgia and fun. But the fun and nostalgia is now lost when I go to these small towns or these little places. It's not Americana anymore. Now it's more terrifying to me. So that's a great question that you asked, and I'm giving you a real answer because you know how much I love this country. Look at my stupid shirt and my hat and my glasses.
I know you do.
I even have a mask with an American flag on it, and people said I wasn't patriotic because I was wearing a mask. I'm like, it's got the flag. What else do you want? And, you know, I just continue to love this country like my old racist grandma, where it's just like, you're wrong. I love you, but you're wrong and you need to stop.
Your grandmother was racist?
Oh, God, please don't make me talk about that. She died.
Was she purposely racist or unintentionally racist, as if there was a difference?
A little column A, a little column B, and she died 4 days after Obama was elected in 2008. And last thing my Uncle Larry asked was like, so did you vote for Obama? She rolled her eyes and boom. He keeps telling that story. I'm like, well, I think we know where grandma
how she cast her vote. Yeah. We know what button she pushed.
I don't think she made it to the polls.
Oh my God. All right, two things that you mentioned there. You mentioned America, and you mentioned filmmaking. So let's talk about that. How America Killed My Mother is your latest documentary, which I'm sorry to say, by the time this podcast drops, we'll have already had a screening at Studio 35, but I'm sure there's more screenings to come. Let's talk about How America Killed My Mother. What is that about, and how did that come to be?
Well, again, as you guys know, I made my first 40-minute documentary about my own mayoral campaign in Bexley back in 2007. I was very happy with how that turned out. We finished it in 2010. We took it to the Cannes Film Festival short film corner.
Yep. I saw it.
Very proud of it. Yep. And then I followed that up with another campaign documentary, Hail Yourself America, about my buddy's campaign in Brooklyn that we ran. Again, that's what we were touring with when the world shut down. Mm. So when the world shut down, we had been shooting footage for How America Killed My Mother since 2016. So a little bit of backstory. You know, I lived in New York for about 9 years doing comedy there. And there's this insane sketch comedy group called Murder Fist. And their shows would literally begin with just blaring loud music, flashing the lights, smog machines, all of them. And they'd all run out with their clothes off and covered in fake blood, yelling at everyone. And there's this fellow named Ed Larson, who is the biggest, burliest fellow of them all. And he was like the ringleader of Murder Fist. And I was terrified of him. You know,
that was the name of my first record, by the way.
Murder Fist?
Murder Fist!
Really? Really? No. Okay. No. It's a great name, but though,
it,
right?
It's a great name.
Yeah, it's
but
a great
it will
name.
Be now.
Now you can, yeah, because they're no longer a sketch group. So Ed's been a pal since the days I first moved to New York City. Mm-hmm. And his mom was a sweet, sweet lady. You know, he was raised as an only child, basically. His dad left the family, and his mom was a diabetic with a gambling addiction. And they were always broke. And anytime they had money, it would get gambled away. And then anytime, you know, she had to deal with her diabetes, there would be barely any money to deal with that real life illness. So Ed was basically working in New York, sending money back to his mom in Jersey. And he would do this dance for, you know, about 10 years since he moved to New York City. And in 2016, July 2016, she passed out at literally Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City from a diabetic episode after losing too much money. And about 2 weeks after that, she passed away. And the writing was on the wall for this poor woman who, you know, she turned 65. She got on Medicare. Medicare didn't cover the blood sugar machine, mm-hmm. blood sugar monitor. It was $800 extra. They didn't have that, so she couldn't do that. So she literally had a dog that would bark when her insulin got low because dogs can smell blood right. sugar. And this was the last year of her life, was just struggling to keep her blood sugar going and struggling to keep money coming in because she got Social Security. And then she was, you know, with Social Security, you can't have another job. Basically, you can't make more. Mm-hmm. It's like unemployment. You can't make more than a certain amount. So she's pigeonholed in this world with diabetes, a low paying job that's killing her literally from, you know, being on her feet all day. She's working in a nursing home. And then Social Security, that's not good enough. Medicare, that's not good enough. And she died in July 2016, shortly after that diabetic episode at, again, Trump Taj Mahal. So Ed Larson comes to me about a month later, devastated. And he's just like, I know you make documentaries. I know you got a journalism degree. And I'm like, Ed, that doesn't mean anything. Let's face it. You know, I'm only a hard-hitting journalist advice because I hit the bomb before we go out and shoot. And he's like, I want to make a movie. He had $3,000 in insurance money, life insurance. And keep that in mind, a few weeks before she died, she switched her policy. He would have gotten $30,000, but she couldn't afford it anymore. So she changed it to the $3,000 policy. No, just and that's what he got. And so he said, I want to take this money and make a documentary. Just let's show what happened to my mom. I want to find out, you know, she had banks just charging her overdraft fees nonstop. Mm-hmm. She had, again, the diabetes issues. The casinos, and it seemed like everywhere you turn, especially in a place like New Jersey, which is a blue state, but a very poorly run blue state, in my opinion, you could see that she just got screwed over and over again. So Ed was like, let's make this documentary. And we started shooting September 2016 during, you know, before Trump was even a thing.
Right.
Sure. And from there, we continued shooting during the Trump years as we saw everything progress. And we were determined to finish it while Trump was still president. So we did finish it in the fall of 2020 and released it exclusively on Vimeo. You can go to howamericakilledmymother.com to actually watch it if you can't make the Studio 35 screening. And the fascinating thing is that now that Trump has lost, all the issues we're talking about, there's still big issues in America, except when now we're in a Democratic administration. Sure, so the goal is to just keep showing it and keep talking about these things.
So, and how's the documentary being received?
Very well. Online, you know, again, with an online release, we were a little worried because you don't get to see everyone's reaction, right? You know?
Right.
And we've been getting so much positive feedback because the interesting thing is we touch on so many issues that everyone resonates with it differently. You know, it's like if you had a parent that died at any point in your life, no matter what it was from, this movie resonates with you. Because it's a comedian dealing with that. If anyone you know or yourself has diabetes, it resonates with you because you're dealing with that. If you've ever had issues with the bank, that resonates with you.
Right.
If you hate Trump, it resonates with you. So we have so many issues that people are resonating with, and we got positive feedback, not just online, but specifically not just individuals, but we got contacted by the Pittsburgh School of Medicine, like University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine, and they watched it as a class, and all of them, you know, collectively wrote an email saying, we realize that we're all determined to do whatever we can to cure diabetes now, because this shouldn't happen. You know, insulin is made for $3 by companies. It's sold for $30 a vial in Canada, and it's sold for almost $300 here in America.
Wow. Isn't Walmart coming out with their own?
Yes, they are.
I mean, so
that's the thing. I'm not joking.
Honestly, I mean, if anyone is.
Everybody, I mean, there seems to be a movement to try to
tackle this.
To tackle that and curb that expense.
Yeah.
So.
Because so millions of Americans are dealing with this.
Right.
Yeah.
And was, do I understand correctly that the Roastmaster General was one of the producers on your documentary?
Absolutely. Jeff Ross is cousins with my buddy, Ed Larson.
Okay.
And Jeff is in the documentary. Jeff made a documentary.
Travis brought this to me last time.
That's right. I was very excited. I stole it from Jeff's house. He has a whole closet full of them.
Okay, I still like the fact that it's that you stole it.
It's fun. And Jeff was.
And it's mine.
Yeah. Jeff was very supportive of the project. You know, Kathy, Aunt Kathy, that was his aunt, right? So he remembers her growing up. And, you know, Jeff made a nice documentary called A Patriot Act with Drew Carey, like way back in the day, like maybe 2005. So Jeff has experience making, and he's done all these roast of criminals, roast of cops, roast of the border. And Larson, my pal and Jeff's cousin, has helped produce all those projects. Oh, so they already have this socially conscious documentary with comedy brand that they've been doing for Comedy Central. And that's why it just made sense for me and Ed to tackle this thing on an indie level just to start getting the story out there.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, as of this recording, I think Whitney and I are going to try to show up at the screening on July the 2nd.
We'll be
but,
there.
But for everybody else, how americakillmymother.com?
Yes, believe it or not, the domain name was not taken. howamericakillmymother.com. It's right there. You'll find it.
That was wide open for you.
Yeah.
That's funny. But congratulations again. It amazes me. I shouldn't say amazes me. It pleases me. me that you can do something as thoughtful as How America Killed My Mother and these other documentaries. And then also go back to your wacky, silly side with Killer Raccoons 2.
Yes.
Which I did see.
Yes.
At a screening at Studio 35. And it was eligible for an Academy Award.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I guess. Because, I'll tell this. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's so bizarre seeing that name on the list.
In the midst. That's right. Yeah, this is a good pandemic story. In the midst of everything. I took the time to just sit in Clintonville, edit Ed's very sad documentary about his mom dying. And then out of nowhere, by the end of July, our distributor, Indigan Pictures, that we signed Killer Raccoons 2 for, they've been trying to get the movie out since signing it. They were like, we're going to do a 420 release. And it was like, all right, well, pandemic.
What's a 420?
420 is April 20th.
Oh, the actual 420. Oh, because, okay, gotcha. Yeah, gotcha.
Hitler's birthday.
Oh, my God. No, it's the Columbine shooting, you monster.
Oh, yeah. Hitler's birthday is the 21st, I think.
So yes. Like Earth my Day. Yeah. So they wanted to do that, and then it didn't work out. Then they tried May, then they tried June, and then they were like, finally, Christmas in July. We got to get this movie out there. Well, in July 2020, I don't know if you guys know, no theaters were open.
None.
Nope.
Anything that was open was just showing old classics.
Right.
Because what happened in the midst of the pandemic was another sequel, also incredibly stupid, called Trolls 2 World Tour, destroyed the studio theater business model completely.
Yeah, they were the first ones. I remember watching it with the kids. Yeah,
Universal.
They streamed it.
Oh, Universal. Yeah, passed up all the theaters and said, we're not going to wait. We're just going to throw it onto streaming. And so now the whole studio theatrical, it was all broken. It was all completely broken. And then all of a sudden you got to this point where, well, if a movie's streaming, then it has been released. So here comes a movie called Killer Raccoons 2, Dark Christmas in the Dark, in the midst of July. And we get released, but I think I'm told the official release date was July 15th. And within 3 weeks, last weekend of July, lo and behold, someone sends me a text. Is like, you are not going to believe this, but Killer Raccoons 2 is the number 11 box office hit at the theaters right now, and they send me the link on IMDb, and lo and behold, there we are, and we see all the other movies are old classics like Star Wars and Indiana Jones and stuff. It's just whatever drive-ins are showing stuff, and then there we are, Killer Raccoons 2, historical record, number 11, top box office grossing movie for about 2 or 3 weeks. You know, we dropped steadily throughout the weeks, but we also looked, and once we realized we were the only new movie and the only comedy movie, we grabbed that moniker right away, and we were the number one new comedy in America because there were no other new comedies in America.
Nice.
And that was last year.
I'd leave out the last part.
I'm like parentheses, asterisks, asterisks.
I'd leave out the last part because there are no other comedies out there.
Yeah.
I would rest on those laurels, huh?
It's good laurels. I love those laurels. And it was just, and we screened in Cleveland for like a week in September. And then, you know, all of this led to literally us being eligible for Academy Awards as we got the word in March. And there we were, just a you know, alphabetically, just a few down from Judas and the Black Messiah.
Does that mean, could you have technically attended the Academy Awards if we were nominated?
Yeah, yes, so we did try.
Being eligible doesn't cut it.
Right. We pushed specifically for best song, best original song.
For your consideration.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I kept telling everyone. It's just an honor to be eligible. Right. That's what I was saying. It's an honor
to be eligible. You submitted best song?
Yeah, because you had to do extra things. You had to submit like the cue sheet and everything. And so we paid the extra to do that. You know, the Academy Awards is just kind of a form,
right?
You know, and you fill out the form and you say that you screened for a week somewhere. And we're like, because Cleveland count? And they're like, it does this year.
I can't tell you how happy I would have been, because I watch the Academy Awards every year, good, bad, or ugly, no matter what they are. How awesome would it have been? And the nominees for Best Original Song.
Christmas in Outer Space, Killer Raccoons 2, Dark Pictures of the Dark. If you think about it,
I would have loved that.
That's the category that South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Untucked got nominated.
It's not out of the realm of
the
possibility.
The Muppet movie.
No.
Lego movie. You know,
it could have happened.
It could have happened if they liked our song more, you know. But so that was it. That was, you know, again, like you mentioned, it's like you got all these serious documentaries. We got serious political issues in this country. Thank God I also have that silly side of the brain was just like Killer Raccoon Stew's. Technically, the biggest thing I've ever done.
It gives you, it gives you balance.
Thank you.
It gives you balance.
You know how it is.
Do you think Spielberg looked at that list and went, "What the fuck is that?"
Everyone looked at that list and was like, "What the fuck?
Yeah, what is going on in this curiosity?" They're like, "Yeah, let's watch this. Check this out."
The one thing I do appreciate, I think I told you guys, there's 366 movies were nominated. Or eligible for all awards categories.
Right.
And it was a leap year in 2020. So it's basically like the Academy was like, if you watched one movie a day, one of those would have to be, unfortunately, Killer Raccoons 2, Dark Christmas in the Dark. Probably near Christmas or July.
Dare I ask? Because last time you were here, we talked about Killer Raccoons 2. And any progress with the third installment?
You know, that's what's so fascinating is, you know, editing the documentary during pandemic and then going working the campaign job in Wyoming, I just felt so wiped out.
Right.
And then even just doing our Academy Awards push, quote unquote, it's just me posting on Instagram, you know,
it's like push.
A different dumb actor that we had. It was like, is he eligible? hashtag.
Let's go with song.
Yeah. Let's just go with song. So honestly, I've just felt so exhausted, and then I picked up the podcast job and movies. I mean, you know, I'm getting to the point where it's like, I don't, you know, the indie, you know how it is, Dino. You know, the indie movie route is so hard, and you do everything, and it costs
to John Whitney. John Whitney, we both know.
You both know, and I really just, you know, I've been living in LA the last 5 months, and by living, I mean, you know, staying at a place. undisclosed location. Don't mail me anything there. It's not like it's actually my place. But there's just no time to start dreaming up of the next thing yet.
We keep talking about what our next thing would be. Yeah. And while we're doing that, we're still seeing the progress from the feature film that we did, The Street, where we found out a month or so ago that we were spiking huge in, was it South Korea?
Yeah, South Korea, for some reason, loves to watch people.
That's
other people.
So great. That's so magical. Yeah. I love that stuff.
You know, and then it went to some sort of free viewing on YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube.
There was a site on YouTube. We picked up 35,000 more views there, and then it was another, I think, Tubi TV as well.
Tubi. I was told that was a made up thing.
No.
I subscribed to Shudder TV recently too.
I love Shudder.
Our film got a, like almost like a rebirth, if you will, from because we're still streaming
from
on
the
Amazon.
Pandemic, or?
I don't know, maybe. We're still streaming on Amazon, but when we started going to this free, when they started releasing on this free site, we started getting all these, you know, comments and people, and like more people probably watched it for free, which is fine. We both would say, you know, we haven't seen a dime from that film.
Yeah, the majority of the people that are watching, like, how do you know about my life? Or, and,
yeah,
you know, this is so sad. How I watched the whole thing, but I wanted to slip my wrist. You know, it's like those kind of comments. That is great.
That's what people say about Killer Raccoons, too.
Which is why our next project is definitely going to be a comedy.
Yeah, well, and that's how Ed Larson and I feel is, you know, Ed, poor Ed is watching this. I'm sending him, you know, cut after cut. I'm like, all right, it's 45 minutes. We're trying to get it down to 40. Tell me what else I can cut. You know, it's 3 minutes of you sobbing. Can I cut that? You know, I mean, it's one of the saddest movies I've ever had to make. And we're in the same boat. We just want to make the dumbest, fartiest comedy ever. So
fartiest. Maybe we don't want to make the fartiest. Up.
I want to make a time
no
travel.
No farts.
A time
have
travel
you heard of
movie.
Comedy,
we'll let
sir.
You make the fartiest movie.
Thank you.
But
Fart the Musical coming the, soon to you but, and everybody. Okay, we'll stop.
We're on to something.
Let's go, Jerry.
I had a dream a while back. Speaking of. Of musicals,
yeah,
and you being of comedy ilk as well. I had a dream that I wrote and produced Lenny Bruce the musical on Broadway.
That's a cool dream. You should do that,
right?
Yeah, that's your dream saying, "Hey, Dino, do this."
Yeah, that's a solid idea.
That's a great
Lenny
idea.
Bruce the musical. And there was a song that was actually playing it in my dream.
Oh, nice. Did like, you write it down, record it when you woke up? Did you get on your
notes? Well, all I can remember was, because, you know, he was arrested and...
Yeah, saying dirty words.
Shut down, you know, and there was like the big song from the musical was, "I Can't Believe He Said Fuck."
Oh.
Yeah, was the, you know, "I can't believe he said fuck. He said fuck. Oh my God, everybody duck. He said fuck." You know, it was like Lenny Bruce the musical.
You could even have some of the, like the, what's the old West Side Story, Officer Krumpke?
Right.
Yeah, you have your police officer again. Yeah. "Can you believe this Bruce guy? He's out of control." He's over there smoking a bowl. "We got to arrest this guy because he said fuck."
Exactly.
"Everybody get in the truck." I don't know. I'm just rhyming Bruce words. Like, oh, that's all musicals are. Right. You just rhyme words.
I just found my collaborator.
All right, yes. I'm
if,
in.
If Mel Brooks, who has no actual musical talent,
his
just birthday
tells, was yesterday.
Tells people, yes, his birthday 80, was
85, 95?
90, definitely. In 95. Yeah,
95. If he could sit there and goes, "I don't know how to play the piano, but this is how the song goes."
Yeah.
And he has people and writes, and, you know.
Thank you.
The Inquisition.
The producers. That's right. And all the songs from his movies. But the musical producers, Mel Brooks doesn't know how to play an instrument.
No.
So you be my collaborator for Lenny Bruce the musical. And off we go.
I'm a good lyricist. In fact, for Best Original Song, I wrote the lyrics because I'm exactly like Mel Brooks in that sense, in no other sense, I assume. I wrote the lyrics for Christmas in Outer Space, which was the opening song of Killer Raccoons 2. But I just knew how I wanted it to go, but I threw it to local musicians, Matt Monta, Bobby Dawson. And they were the ones that actually made it into
a song.
Ding, dong, ding, dong. And then it's an actual song. So
there you go.
So that's great. I'm in. Count me in.
Lenny Bruce,
the musical.
Okay.
It writes itself.
Sounds crazy, and yet not that crazy.
It's not that
Can
crazy.
Can I play like a person in the audience who faints?
Whoa, no.
You're the cat driver. Make up your mind. You're gonna, you want to be an Uber driver in our films, and now you want to be on a Broadway play?
Well,
whichever one you make first,
our
I'll
Broadway
be
musical.
In.
Yeah, also Broadway, we're opening in Cincinnati.
Yeah, we got a ways to go before we get to
the test that
on West Broadway by the casino.
Right. This is how ideas are born.
Yeah, I know, right? Mm-hmm. It's crazier things have happened. I mean, that's isn't that how the guys from South Park came up with the Book of Mormon?
Absolutely.
It was just crazy, just sitting around.
Well, they grew up, you know, in Colorado, surrounded by Mormons because they're on the western side of the Rockies, and they had their South Parks. But, you know, one of their movies was Orgasmo.
Right.
Which
fuck yes.
I studied that a lot because it was Che Parker's second feature. And, you know, Killer Raccoons
Basketball, what was first?
No, this first one was Cannibal the Musical, which is a Troma entertainment movie, and that's where my first raccoon movie belongs, is with Troma Entertainment. So I... I looked at that movie. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, if you can make a sequel that's at least that good, Trey Parker, Matt Stone, they've, I mean, those guys' careers are just, you know, I look
they're
at
still the, at it.
They're still, I mean, yeah. Mike Judge is a great indie comedy guy who just creates also, his yeah. own world. I just really look up to comedians like that.
Part of the reason you're back in town is because you are a beloved fan of the Columbus Crew.
I grew up cheering for the Columbus Crew. It was the only sports team I cared about for about 20 years.
Yep. And you went to the last game.
Went to the last game.
At Moffrey.
Yes. Now it's a historic Crew Stadium.
Now historic Crew Stadium.
Oh, yeah, that's what it's called now?
Yeah. Well, you know, Moffrey was like, oh, you're still in the stadium. Yeah, we're not going to put our name on it. So.
And have you checked out the new stadium?
The lower. Lower.com.
Lower.com Field. That's what it's called.
Okay. I hear it's absolutely stunning.
It was. I wasn't fully prepared.
Did they do tours or how'd you get in?
So I became a season ticket holder this year. Mm-hmm. I've been cheering for the Crew since 1996. I was 12 years old. I was too young to become a season ticket holder. So I was at the first game in Ohio Stadium. I was at the first game at Historic Crew Stadium, 1999, and I will be at the first game at lower.com field, and they had an exclusive watch party of the Columbus versus Austin game, because you may recall the Save the Crew
that was on
saga.
Sunday.
Yeah, that's one that Columbus Crew fans really wanted to win.
Yes.
Just to stick it in his ass.
Did Austin, stick it to him. Just trust to stick fund, it in his butt. Yes, the guy who owned the Crew previously that led, and he tried to move the team to Austin and led to the whole Save the Crew movement. He ended up getting his team in Austin and his stadium. And they just opened up, and so Columbus played them on Sunday.
Their Sunday night team. To 0-0.
Yeah, well, you know, they're not quite expansion team because it was classic soccer 0-0. Participation trophies for everybody. We could have just all stayed home. Those are the most soccer results you could get 0-0. But we really could have stuck it to them.
I remember this is a total rabbit hole, but I remember growing up and Letterman would give the World Cup scores and he would just be like 0-0 0-0 0-1
I remember Jay Leno's only World Cup joke was when the United States got beat by Iran in 1998, and he was, you know, you're a kid growing up, you want to be a comedian, and his joke was, hey, it was the first time that Iranians had sent Americans home early. Oh, that's fun. That's a cool joke.
That's a good one.
Jay Leno. Thank you. More head bobbles.
Okay, go back. I'm sorry.
You saw the stadium.
It's the most beautiful stadium I've ever seen in my entire life. And it's right downtown, which changes everything. You know, how many years have I... It was Ohio Stadium, and then you leave the stadium, you're on the campus. And then it's nice. Historic Crew Stadium, and you leave the stadium, and you're in a mud field at the Ohio Fairgrounds.
I leave the stadium,
and there's the skyline, and the Nationwide building says, Go Crew. And it just feels like the city gives a shit about... a soccer team that made U.S. soccer important in this country.
Right.
The road to growing soccer in America went through Columbus, and I think that's why the Save the Crew movement was successful. And again, it's so simple. You're right. A kid growing up with a soccer team in a city no one cares about.
Yeah.
And it's just like we've made ourselves very...
And a kid growing up with a soccer team and a kid growing up at a time when soccer was what?
Yeah, right.
I still get made fun of
soccer
for asking to soccer. Could you please put on the soccer game at the bar?
All right, let me mention one more thing for you to plug, because I don't think you've plugged nearly enough things over the course of this podcast.
Good.
I don't care, man. Everything.
Yeah.
But let's plug your podcast, the one you were just talking about.
Yes. Honestly, I'm very proud of it. Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. They've been doing this podcast, my buddy Ben Kissel, over at Last Podcast Network for about 10 years. And they used to record it in a little broom closet under a Mexican restaurant. And I would pop on in 2011 for a couple episodes throughout the years. I had my Fox News girlfriend at the time. We'd go on the show and argue. And then it was the end of our relationship. And now.
I wonder why.
Was she blonde? Because that's just how'd
you know she's blonde and has legs?
Fox News.
Was it the closet in the bottom of a Mexican restaurant? Or was that what you talked about?
But now I am the co-host, and it's been so much fun because
we worked your way up to the co-host.
Yeah, they're exclusive on Spotify, but we've gotten up to number 8 as high as number 8 on the news and politics section.
Nice.
Let us know when you're on the fun and nostalgic section.
I wish that we were in the new and trending and fun and nostalgic section.
Well, we're new to the Evergreen Podcast Network, so I think they're throwing us a little love.
They should, and I that's honestly what it takes, because you know my friends are millionaires from just being podcast hosts, and now I'm getting a small piece of the pie.
We're not everywhere close, none of us are there yet.
Right? This is the closest we've got. We know someone who knows millionaires, and that's the important thing. It's possible, and we are just keep growing
because these guys just grew their podcast for 10 years.
So we still got five years to go. You're babies.
And from what I hear, it goes from 0 to like a million, just like that.
Just like that.
Overnight.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. Honestly, you know, I'm not blowing smoke up Evergreen Podcast Network, but the fact that we're on that network will definitely expand our base.
No, exactly. We're very grateful.
We're very much appreciated, and more people. And once again, I mentioned that you're the first official podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network.
So you share this with your $1 million buddies?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yes. Yeah. Let me just text them right now. 1-800-millionaires. That's what I just text them. Yeah.
No, Bezos. I don't want to talk to you again.
Looking for
my buddies.
No, I can't go to Mars right now, Jeff. Man. I'm hanging out with Dino.
let's start to wrap things up here. Our guest bottle has been the George Dickel Barrel Select. Did you guys enjoy it? Yes.
We did. Absolutely. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Only 86 proof. Like, that went down too quick for me.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. 86 is a very safe proof.
It's good. Safe proof.
It's breakfast proof.
I remember last week, Johnny was looking for a post-podcast drink. He's like, you got anything that's less than 100 proof? Less than 100 proof? We kept going, no.
120, 123.
That's moonshine. So don't even touch that.
That's gasoline.
This got, I think, bottle 166 or 167. I can't remember. The George Dickel. It's nice. Kind of sweet.
It's really good.
With the corn, a little bit of caramel.
I would suggest if you see a bottle of that, just pick it up.
I dig it. I don't know what it retails for. Can you
find this barrel select?
Yeah, this is at the store. This is available. This is available. The only reason I don't know what it retails for, and I apologize, I should have done my research, is because it was a gift from Rick Gethin.
Thanks, Rick.
So thank you, Rick. We appreciate that.
He's a big roller. He's a millionaire too.
Before I say an official goodbye to Travis Hansberry, the business one more time.
WhiskeyBusinessPod.com and EvergreenPodcast.com is where you can find all of our episodes and nonsense. Yep. Of course, Instagram and Facebook. Please like us and click all the buttons that make us your friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's YouTube, Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis.
Yeah.
Smash that like button. And the little bell icon that's right down here, and then you'll get notifications. And then new things, Johnny. He's got the Evergreen Podcast. There's a nice little picture of us there.
Look at that. It ain't photoshopped at all. Not too much. We had to take new pictures for the podcast network.
So that's even more incentive for people to go to evergreenpodcast.com and just see our handsome faces. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Overcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, Amazon, YouTube, CastBox, Breaker. Thanks to all of our friends at Evergreen.
Our guest has been Travis Irvine, a guy who's always doing something. Check out How America Killed My Mother at howamericakilledmymother.com. If you don't get a chance to see it screened somewhere locally in your neck of the woods, so go online and check that out. Thank you, brother. Again, as always, I look forward to having you back in another year.
Yes. Let's do it every 2 years.
Every 2 years. Has it been 2 years?
Yeah, 2019. And then, you know. Well, 2020 is kind of like
it's a blur. It doesn't count. It's a blur. Yeah. It's a duo.
It was timeout.
Every Olympic year. We'll have you on Olympic years.
So that sounds great. Yeah. For the winter and summer, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Great. Specifically to talk about that now, right?
Yeah.
Great.
I do know a lot about curling.
That's Simone Biles.
Next week on the podcast, Jason Banks. Woo! Comedian Jason Banks from right here in Columbus, who is blowing up
TikTok
across the world on TikTok. something like 4 to 5 million followers on TikTok.
Amazing.
Over 670,000 followers.
He's just a good guy.
He's been on our podcast before, but with other people.
Right.
So this will be the first time we have a one-on-one with Jason Banks. And
you know, talking about fun and nostalgia, I know why Jason Banks, I know why Jason Banks would say yes to this podcast. Same reason I accidentally texted Dino at 2:03 a.m. I was like, we miss Dino, and Dino's meant a lot to this community, young comedian developing. So thank you for all you do.
Thank you. It's very kind of you. Thanks, man, for being here tonight. And that we're going to hang out for a little bit afterwards. That's it, my friends. Thank you for joining us on Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. I always forget to say it's a Never the Luck production. That's a production company that makes no money as well. And once again, still proud to be a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. So check them out at evergreenpodcast.com. Until the next bottle, see ya.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not, it's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.